I'm Heidi Schwartz. I'm the acting deputy director of the Bureau of Competition at the FTC. First, a disclaimer, these remarks are my own. They're not those of any particular commissioner or the commission as a whole. I also want to say that I'm looking at this from the competition side of the FTC. I believe my colleagues in consumer protection are talking on other panels, so this is from the competition side. When people talk about data, they usually talk about the four V's of big data. Volume, how much data are we talking about? Velocity, how much data is coming through and how quickly? And for us, that means how much does it have to be updated and what's the flow? Variety, what are the different forms of data and are they complements or substitutes? And veracity, how accurate or inaccurate is the data? In the FTC context, when we think about data markets, the four V's are implicitly part of our considerations. And we look at how big data is being used. Is it a product? Is it an input? Is it a tool? Often it is two or three of these things. And of course, we look at whether the data is unique or broadly available. This is particularly important because it affects entry and expansion options of other firms in the market. So how do these cases often look to us, and how do they come to us? In the instance of two database companies merging, they often sell data products. And two of the older examples that I have are these type of cases where it's two merging databases. If we go back to 2001, the FTC challenged the consummated merger of Hearst Trust and First Data Bank that involved the merger of two competing providers of integral data, drug data files. And then if you go forward to 2010, the FTC challenged Dun & Bradstreet's acquisition of QED, which was a division of Scholastic that involved K-12 educational marketing data, such as, you know, contact demographic and other key information related to teachers, administrators, schools, and school districts. So if you look back, you know, we have a long history of where the database and there's the product, and we are challenging those mergers. In some of the more recent cases I will discuss in this presentation, data was a key input. It wasn't the actual product itself, but it was integral and essential to the product. And in many cases, we'll look at data is also being used as a tool, and it can be a tool and a product, a tool and a input, key input. And in cases involving data markets, we will look at how the data is being used and whether it is a key differentiator, as well as other key dynamics. In these data cases, entry conditions are often critical. What other firms, if any, could replicate the competition lost in the relevant market? Discussing how data may facilitate or create impediments to that entry. As I've alluded to, the FTC has a long history of cases involving data markets. The history goes back to at least 1996, when the FTC filed an administrative complaint against ADP's 1995 acquisition of AutoInfo's assets, charging that the acquisition would raise prices and reduce the quality of service and innovation to automobile salvage yard information management industry. So these are key tools that the automobile salvage yard used and as well as insurers used. The parties each maintained interchanges, which were essentially databases of numbering systems for auto parts and parts assembled through that insurers and salvage yards use as sort of an index to determine interchangeability of parts. The parties also had significant software assets, an electronic communication system that allowed auto salvagers to actually buy the parts and see automatically and quickly, sort of through a central database, what the inventory was at the other yards that subscribe. In the end, the case settled with the divestiture of the former AutoInfo's assets as an ongoing business, which included granting the acquirer an unrestricted license to the interchange, which it, by that time had become sort of the default industry standard for a cross-numbering index for parts. Moving on to 2014, CoreLogic and DataQuick, the data as a product. This was a merger that the FTC challenged in March. In March 2014, CoreLogic agreed to settle FTC charges that its acquisition of DataQuick would likely substantially lessen competition in the market for national assessor and recorder bulk data. So what is national assessor and recorder bulk data? It's current and historical data on properties pulled from local public records, like deeds, mortgages, etc., that is aggregated and standardized in bulk format. It includes information about ownership, value, and other characteristics of properties. So it's public information, but it's not standardized, it's not easy to collect, and you need both historical and going forward. Customers of this data, so customers of the companies, use the data in various proprietary programs for risk and fraud management tools, valuation models, and a lot of other uses. The complaint alleged that the merger would eliminate one of the three providers of national assessor and recorder bulk data, increasing the risk of coordination between the remaining two firms and the risk that CoreLogic could unilaterally raise prices. In terms of the market structure, there were regional assessor and recorder bulk data firms, but the commission viewed it, looked at that and saw that they could not combine or reposition to actually compete in the national assessor and recorder bulk data market. They would have gaps, they would not be standardized, and there were other issues there. At the time of the merger, CoreLogic licensed its current and go-forward data to DataQuick, which DataQuick was permitted to relicense in bulk. So in other words, DataQuick was actually kind of dependent on CoreLogic for the data. DataQuick used the licensed data along with its own historical data to compete head-to-head with CoreLogic. Importantly, DataQuick was unique in its ability to credibly threaten to enter because it already had historical data. It had acquired a company years before that CoreLogic was willing to license to them. Because it acquired that historical data, CoreLogic viewed it as a potential entrant, and therefore it sort of got economies of scale and scope by licensing to DataQuick, and it felt that DataQuick would be in there anyway if it didn't, because it had the historical data, it could have amassed the sort of ongoing data itself. So it was willing to license years ago to DataQuick after it had acquired a historical database. That said, it was very unlikely that anyone else could enter because the breadth of historical data they would need to be gathered and the ability to continue gathering that data would be prohibitive. So no one else was going to have that unique ability to have the historical data. The remedy that we constructed was designed to allow a company called Realty Track to step into the shoes of DataQuick as CoreLogic's licensee. The order required CoreLogic to irrevocably license to Realty Track equivalent data to what DataQuick offered to its customers and update the bulk data for 5 years. That was in design. The 5 years were designed at Realty Track to compete with CoreLogic while developing its own ability to collect national bulk data. Realty Track realized that CoreLogic was not providing the entire data set that DataQuick had access to and raised concerns that led to a commission investigation. Just recently, in March of 2018, the commission modified the order after finding that CoreLogic had not provided Realty Track with all the required data on a timely basis. The modification adds 3 years to the original term of the order and specifically sells out the quality, service levels, and data transfer requirements. Takeaways from the CoreLogic data quick merger. Here, the data was the product being sold, and the breadth, detail, and the complexity of the data created barriers to entry. This matter highlighted the complexities involved in attempting to remedy a lessening of competition when data is the product. You would think it's a database, it's not that hard to transfer, but here, the buyer's due diligence may not necessarily, what we learned is buyer's due diligence may not necessarily uncover missing or necessary data in a timely fashion. And the commission had difficulty initially identifying the exact universe of data required to effectively compete and required additional work by the buyer, the monitor, and the commission to determine what data was missing, how it needed to be delivered, and how it needed to be continuously updated. Ferris Eagleview, data as an input. So here it wasn't. In 2014, the commission issued an administrative complaint seeking to block Verisk's proposed acquisition of Eagleview in the growing market for rooftop aerial services. Verisk's subsidiary competed with Eagleview to provide software that, when combined with the library of aerial images of rooftops, allowed insurance adjusters to effectively and efficiently and safely measure roofs. As you can imagine, the old-fashioned way they used to do it was adjusters would actually get up on the roofs and do the measurements. That has issues with both accuracy and also significant safety issues. The measurements in turn allowed insurers to estimate the cost of repair or replacement of insured roofs. Verisk also owned the software that customers used to make other measurements to estimate damage claims. The commission alleged a product market of rooftail aerial measurement products, or RAMPs, for insurance purposes. Interestingly, you know, for insurance purposes is key in terms of it was actually a targeted customer market because the product was used both by insurers and by adjusters and contractors. But for insurance, although the software products, you know, function somewhat differently, both required the same input, the aerial images, and to carry out the same functions. That said, insurance companies, the commission judged that insurance companies had different needs and requirements than other customers like contractors. And could, you know, contractors generally felt that they could, you know, switch to manual measurements. Insurers could not. As I noted, the product here is not the data itself, but the data was a key input to the product. In terms of the market structure, the merger of these two was judged to create a virtual monopoly. EagleView was the first to develop software using aerial images, and these are actually particular types of aerial images. It's not just any old aerial image. It had to have certain angles, certain types of views, i.e. leafless. Like this is, in another few weeks, this will be a good time of year to have aerial images because you can actually see the roof in the measurements. It's not a particularly pretty photo, but it does make a difference in terms of aerial photos. And at the time, EagleView had the first mover advantage of amassing a market share of 90%. It also had by far the largest aerial image library. Verisk was a relatively new entrant, entering just 2 years before the proposed acquisition, but it quickly amassed, you know, a not insignificant market share, substantially more than any other competitor, and it was offering discounts and direct competition to Verisk, to EagleView. The commission alleged that if the transaction was consummated, discounts would disappear and prices would rise. An important aspect of Verisk and EagleView's competition is their ability to obtain the aerial images that are up to date, so measurements reflected those of current structures, high quality, because it allowed adjusters to identify attributes of the insured property, and it also had to be available on a national scale. National insurers wanted to be able to use the software for all of their insured products, and it wasn't worth it to them to sort of have different providers in different areas of the country. EagleView, as I said, had the most extensive library of aerial images. Importantly, insurers also required the RAMPs integrate seamlessly with claims estimation software. And because Verisk was the leading provider of claims estimation software generally, it was able to overcome and was uniquely positioned to be able to overcome a more limited library of aerial images by capitalizing on its relationship with the insurers and the fact that it had the best and most sort of commonly used software. Verisk and EagleView abandoned the transaction after the commission issued the complaint, so the case never was considered by a court. But what the commission considered in the complaint provides us with some insights. In this case, while data was not the product defined in the product market, it was an essential input into the product and affected a firm's ability to compete and enter the market. The commission considered the incentives to increase the quality and volume of data as a loss of innovation. So that was also an issue. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about CCC Mitchell, which was a challenged merger in 2009 that the FTC challenged. Full disclosure, I actually was in private practice at the time and was working on behalf of Mitchell, but I am basing this entirely on public information. Okay, so access to data as an entry barrier. It was a key input, not the actual product itself. There are two products at issue. One was Estimatics, which is a database used to generate repair estimates for automobiles. This wasn't particularly the product used for sort of specialized trucks or other things like that, and total loss valuation systems, which were used to determine when a vehicle was totaled and, even more importantly, the value of it. At the time of the merger, the big three, which were CCC, Auditex, and Mitchell, in that order, had about 99% of the estimatics market. There were two fringe competitors, most importantly, that we'll talk about later, is Webest. And for TLV, the big three accounted for 90% of the market. Mitchell had entered later and had a significantly smaller share. There were two types of customers, insurers and repair facilities for estimatics, and primarily insurers for TLV. Okay, database dynamics. So the primary components of estimatics and TLV were the databases themselves and the software. And so how did these firms have to get the databases? CCC had obtained an exclusive license to the Hearst Businessing Publishing database called Motor in 1998. Auditex and Mitchell each had sort of grown their own system painstakingly over years. And part of the reason why Mitchell was smaller is it had taken them many years to create their own database, and they did so. WebS licensed Mitchell's database, but under very restrictive conditions. It was not allowed to sell to any of the top 50 insurers. It could not have a communicating product, which meant that basically it could only sell to independent repair stations, not that those that were part of a particular repair network. And it could not integrate with other third-party apps, you know, vendors, things that other insurers and other service stations used. So the proposed fix. CCC offered to do two things in terms of making a database available. One, it offered to relinquish exclusive rights to the Hearst Motor database. That meant that any new entrant could license that database. And it was fully updated and would continue to be fully updated because Hearst kept that database updated and it was licensed. And Mitchell would remove restrictions on WebEst and continue that database license. So therefore, there would be both WebEst with the Mitchell database and CCC offering to sort of relinquish its exclusive, anyone else could have access to the Hearst database. Auditex would continue with its proprietary-owned database. The judge found the availability of databases would reduce the most critical barrier to entry, but she still found that there was significant other barriers. One, customers were sticky, particularly the insurance customers that were critical to success. And you needed to establish a track record and have a lot of sort of support capabilities. Scale mattered. The judge did note that the WebEst, which is led by a guy named Eric Seidel, had been in industry for a while, you know, had good experience, had significantly grown his addressable market share, which had been really independent service stations. But he only had, you know, 10 to 15 employees. And so the sort of growth curve was going to be too long and too steep. It just wouldn't be sufficient entry in the time required. By comparison to WebEst, 10 to 15 employees, CCC Mitchell, after they combined, would have had about 2,000 employees. Interestingly, the judge actually decided this case as a coordinated effects case and not as a unilateral effects case. She had found some issues with the FTC's experts' unilateral effects analysis. So it was a PI hearing, not a full trial on the merits, but she decided that the coordinated effects were too likely. Okay. Microsoft LinkedIn, and this is the last case I'm going to discuss before talking about a few takeaways. So Microsoft is obviously strong in operating systems for personal computers and productivity software. LinkedIn is a professional social network that a lot of us probably use. The U.S. investigated but not to take any action. The EC concluded that the merger did not raise competitive concerns related to data, but it did find, so what it found, what it looked at, and these are some of the answers to questions that we often ask, you know, is the data readily available from other sources or similar data? And yes, we found that other, you know, the EC found that other sources existed for that data. They also found that the companies hadn't particularly provided that data and made it available on the market before, so there wasn't really going to be a change post-merger. And they had relatively low shares in the market that the EC was concerned about. The EC did require several commitments, and those are just up there. Those primarily had to do with interoperability and ensuring that others could be competitive on the professional social networks. You can see those there. I'm not going to read through them. But they did not have to do with particularly the data possessed by the companies. Okay. Takeaways, and I'm going to try and end early. So takeaways, competition analysis, because I'm sure you guys have had a long day and appreciate you all staying. Current antitrust analysis accounts for how firms compete using data. Data markets and sets are highly differentiated. Each investigation looks very closely at the specific facts of the case, We recognize that data markets are dynamic. Quality and innovation effects may be particularly important. They also may be harder to measure than price effects. How data enables or hinders entry or expansion also may be particularly important. Remedies. In cases that involve data, just like in any other cases, we have a preference for structural remedies. We've seen a number of cases that I discussed where we look to divest or clone a database versus a license. Sometimes we'll allow a license. It depends on the specific facts of the case. There's the issues related to how they're going to continue to obtain the data and keep a new data flow that's accurate and is expansive. And what we found in our database cases and what we've learned is there's a lot of complexity to how the data is stored, how it is updated, how it is kept, and how it is provided to customers. And it seems simple, but there's actually more due diligence that needs to be done, not just by buyers of potential assets, but by the commission and others during that process. There are often IP and copyright issues, and while they're not favored, behavioral conditions may be needed. In some of the cases that I talked about, for example, CoreLogic, there were commitments that we required related to allowing customers to break contracts so that the new firm could have contracts going forward over a certain period of time. So sometimes we have to overcome customers' reluctance and in some cases ability to switch. We need to give them ability to switch to have the new entrant actually be able to have those customers. There are other types of behavioral conditions, including some support over a transition period that we will look at as well. But as noted, structural is always preferred, including in data cases. Thank you, guys.